Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me this morning, I have Dr. Shingo Hamada visiting from Juneau.
Yes.
From Japan.
That's right.
Here to enlighten us on the ethnographic and cultural importance of things we share in common with Japan, herring and kelp.
Right.
Awesome. So give us a little overview of how long have you been here here in Southeast Alaska, and what brought you over here?
Oh, yes. I've been doing the research in Hokkaido Island, northern part of Japan, in the last 15 years. And I'm mainly doing the research on the herring, the cultural importance for herring, and also environmental history of herring. Then I came to South Alaska last February, and right now, with the support from Fulbright Fellowship, I'm affiliated with US Juno, mm-hmm. and it's been 9 or 10 months already, and we're having a good time.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you've seen all of it starting in February, and yes, now you're into the not quite as fun time of year when it gets super stormy. But so your research, I mean, there's a lot of similarities between the coastal ecology of Southeast Alaska to the coastal ecology of Japan, and having that herring as that tie through, and as well as kelp is something that you've been looking at. For your talk coming up tomorrow, are you going to emphasize more on the kelp itself, on the herring that inhabit it? What's your hope to focus on?
Well, yes, mainly in the past 15 years, I'm doing research on herring, but tomorrow's talk, I will focus on kelp, mm-hmm. because kelp is the foundation of the coastal ecosystem, both sides of the North Pacific, and the kelp is important for the herring too. It's a spawning ground, yeah. for the herring. So tomorrow, I'll talk about cultural importance and history of kelp in Japan. Because, again, kelp is very important for both sides of North Pacific, but I think the usage of kelp is different between Japan and South Alaska. And I know that, I learned that the Klingi people, Haida people, coastal people in Alaska has been using seaweed for food and trading items for a long, long mm-hmm. time. But Japan, too, Japan used the kelp as a food for a long time. So that's something that I want to talk about. Tomorrow.
Those parallels between the two. Mm-hmm. Something I thought, I'd never considered it until you mentioned it when we were speaking before coming on air, is just when kelp is really growing here. Of one thing in particular being kelp can grow in the earlier part of the season here when herring come in to mm-hmm. spawn. But in Japan, the herring are coming to spawn before really the kelp come up. That's an interesting difference of, I just imagine like, yes, herring and kelp go together, mm-hmm. But it's a different sort of ecology and timing between the two. With the connection between the Japanese market and Alaskan supply, what sort of connections have you been looking at?
Yes. Thanks for raising that up. Well, many people think that, and a lot of Japanese people think that the raw-on kelp mm-hmm. is the traditional food of Japan. But actually, in Japan, the kelp start growing in June, July, and August. Mm-hmm. And the herring comes to the shore for spawning in the late March to April. So traditionally, Japanese people didn't harvest raw-on kelp.
That's interesting.
So raw-on kelp is a really traditional delicacy in South Alaska and British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And Japan started, importing those, Alaskan delicacy in late 20th century, 1950, 1960, okay. 1970. So as an industry, I think it started in the 1970s and 80s.
That's interesting that it's been so quickly adopted into the culinary culture that at first glance, you'd assume, oh yeah, this has been something we've been eating for millennia, mm-hmm. but it's a new thing. So how is this, are you seeing it looking, this, outside demand, how do you see this interacting with cultivating kelpscapes and other things here in Southeast? Do you have any, recommendations for what you see happening on your side of the mm-hmm. Pacific to could that could relate here?
Yeah. I would say that's a story that I want to, you know, keep it to tomorrow.
Okay.
Fair. But I want to say in Japan, we harvest both wild and farmed kelp. Okay. But even if, you know, I said wild kelp, still local fishermen cultivate wild kelp. Mm-hmm. So cultivating wild kelp, it's like some of the oxymoron, but yeah. That's what local, you know, coastal Japanese fishermen do. You know, they try to cultivate the seabed so that they will create better habitat, you know, for the kelp to grow faster and more. So that's something I want to share. That's a kind of story that I want to share tomorrow.
I'm imagining this has been this wild kelp cultivation is it a fairly established practice in, yes, in coastal Japan?
It's well established. That's been done less than 500 years or so. Wow. So since it's wild kelp, it's not privatized. Mm-hmm. So nobody cannot claim this is my kelp.
Right.
So basically this is our kelp. So the community people engage in a cultivation together and be responsible for the kelp together. And if they make a mistake, you know,
the community takes responsibility.
They pay the price. Yes, right. They pay the responsibility.
That's a fascinating topic, and especially considering with coastal Alaska, many communities looking towards farming and harvesting mm-hmm. kelp as a new source of stable income and food mm-hmm. security mm-hmm. for Southeast Alaska.
Yes.
So, kind of getting a little bit of a insight from the old hands at it, the experts at it. That's a really interesting thing to bring over here to Southeast.
Yeah, so it's amazing to hear that. You know, kelp farming is showing some development in mm-hmm. South Alaska because, you know, kelp is a very sustainable food resources,
yes,
and energy resources, and for fertilizer and the food as well. But at the same time, you know, we need to be very careful mm-hmm. about, you know, how to use the local resources, because it's really important that the local people get engaged in the decision making about what to do with the local resources.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm very concerned is that the privatization of the coastal seawater and
right.
sea resources. So it's okay to use it, you know. We live with the ocean, but, you know, that's something I want to talk in tomorrow. You know, it's really important to get the local people, you know, participate in the decision making, in the kelp, in the future of the kelp, you know, resources.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And we're lucky enough, we do have a lot of people who are very connected to the ocean, to the landscape,
yes,
here.
Mm-hmm.
So it has all the setup for success in, mm-hmm. in cultivating that. So for your talk tomorrow, you're going to be, you said you got in town here on Monday, you'll be giving your talk tomorrow. That'll be at 7 p.m. at UAS and room 229. How long do you expect the talk to go? And will you be available? I mean, will you be available for questions afterwards?
Yeah. And the talk, you know, the lecture time is like an hour long.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll be happy to stay there, unless, you know, 15 minutes, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm here with family, so I may have to go back,
back
home. But I'll be in Sitka till Friday.
Excellent.
So, you know, if anybody had any question, you know, wants to have a coffee with me, that'll be great. And I'll be here, you know, till Friday.
Will you be located up, like over at the UAS campus doing some work over there? So people can call the university if they
want to
pick your brain about any topics?
Yes. Now I'll be in Juneau till the end of November.
Oh, perfect.
So if, you know, anyone, you know, coming up to Juneau and have a, you know, conversation with me, that would be great.
Excellent. Well, we are just about out of time this morning, but Dr. Shingo Hamada, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me here.
And bring your expertise. So your talk tomorrow night, Thursday, 7 p.m. at UAS, room 229, Cultivating Kelpscapes, Food Ways, Management, and Environmental Issues of Kelp in Japan. Thank you very much for joining
me. Thank you.